May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 909. Why, drooping saint dismayed, does sorrow press thee down? Has God refused to give thee aid, or does he seem to frown? Hymn 909. Us to read from Philippians chapter 3, the epistle to the Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Holy and gracious God, we come before thee again on the evening hour of thy day. Could it please lead to grant us this night an Emmaus Road blessing? May Jesus himself now draw near and go with us, and speak with us and commune with us, and reveal thyself to us in the Scriptures. May Christ be made precious to us. May our hearts unite in love to him and to each other. May we feel the effects of the precious blood of Jesus Christ applied to our never-dying souls. May, Lord, there be those moved by thy love who will not be able to keep silent, but will rejoice to tell how precious thou art to them. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, for thy day, for thy house, for thy throne, for thy word and gospel, for that way of salvation. May the living streams of living waters flow into our souls and fill the dry places like a river this night. May, Lord, we be fed with the bread of life. And may our faith be increased and strengthened. Where, Lord, there is no faith, could it please thee this night to give that faith? Where there is that faith, could it please thee, Lord, to strengthen it and to increase it? Where there is great faith, Lord, maintain it. Grant unto us each, Lord, all the fruit of the Spirit. Grant us, Lord, that humility of mind, remembering that we are nothing and that we can do nothing without thee. Therefore, all the glory and honour must go to thee. But may, Lord, we prove this night we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Bless unto us thy word and gospel. Lead us by faith to adore Emmanuel's feet. May we worship thee aright, with reverence, with respect, with holy love. May we be conscious, Lord, of thy greatness, the greatness of thy name, of the power of thy name, of the preciousness of thy name. May, Lord, the name of Jesus draw us. May it attract us. And may we find a shelter there. Rock of ages, cleft for us, may we find ourselves in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse us from its guilt and power. Lord, cleanse us from the guilt and the pollution of sin, but free us also from the power of sin, that hold it has over us, that attraction that we have to it. Break it, we pray, by thy almighty power and love. Bless this house of prayer. We bless the preaching of thy word here, service by service, week by week. Hear the prayers of the prayer meetings and abundantly answer them, we pray. Bless the reading services. When there is not one of thy servants here, may it be evident, Lord, that thou remainest, even if the pulpit's empty. Bless and help the deacons and their pathways in life and in the office thou hast called them to. Give them all needed grace and wisdom. And abundantly bless them, we pray, and help them. Bless each member of this church. May they be united, and may they be kept united in love, in fear, in union, in grace. Add unto their number, we pray. And grant, Lord, that same love, that same unity, that same bond of grace may be found in the congregation also. and do bless each one of them with spiritual life and grace and faith and assurance. And may, Lord, this people often know what it is, both privately and when they come to the house of prayer to worship at Emmanuel's feet, to meet around the cross of Christ. Do bring in others to worship here and fill the empty pews with sinners with a need, with an appetite. And grant, Lord, that there may be prosperity. And do bless thy church this day. And bless the preaching of thy word today throughout the whole world. Help thy servants as they proclaim a precious Christ. May many be enabled by faith to look to Jesus and to find pardon, peace, righteousness, and reconciliation with God. Then, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant each of us thy help in the unknown way. Grant us thy divine direction in the ways which we should go. Grant thy help every day of this week. Remember the children and help them and keep them. Remember the families and be with them. Remember those who don't have families. Lord, be with them and help them in their pathway. Remember those who are aged and infirm, nearing the end of the journey. Sanctify old age, weakness, weariness. May they be exercised to be made ready and prepared for that moment which is not far off, when they must come face to face with thee, when they must keep their appointment which thou hast with them at the judgment seat. Remember those in the midst of life, with its busy scenes and cares and needs. Open doors of thy approving, shut doors which are not. Grant wisdom and guidance. Grant natural strength and spiritual strength also. May, Lord, the one thing needful not be forgotten. May Christ be put first. May he be the treasure in the vessel. And then, Lord, remember those in the mourning time of life, in childhood and youth, and those growing up into adulthood. Do supply their needs that they have. Above all, Lord, plant the root of grace in each heart and grant the fruit of faith and assurance in the life. Grant, Lord, that true repentance for sin. Grant that true looking to Jesus. Grant that faith to trust in thee. Grant, Lord, that life. Help us as we come to thy word of truth. Open to us the treasures of thy word, we pray. And bless thy gospel. Crown it with success in our hearts. May we hear the voice of Jesus speaking. May we by faith see him. As one said, I've beheld yon lovely man. Lord, may we too this night behold by faith yon lovely man, even the God-man Christ Jesus. And may we read our name, our cause, our sins, our eternity, in the wounds of Jesus. And having read them, May we adore with wonder, love, and thanksgiving at thy feet. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 535, 535. O the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help. We venture this evening to speak from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the third chapter, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, the 10th verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. What a precious desire this is. This is the apostle's desire for himself. This is the apostle's desire to those to whom he is writing. And this is a desire of every living soul to know Jesus for themselves. Here we have, in a few short words, what real religion is. To know Jesus Christ for ourselves. That's what real religion is. Have you got any real religion? If you have, you'll want to know more of him. You'll know what Gatsby wrote, "Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem." There's always more to know. The saints in glory will spend an eternity having this prayer answered, that I may know him. Now the apostle here is writing to the church at Philippi, a church very dear to his heart, a church which he remembered with fond affection. You will remember that it was at Philippi where the women went out to the riverside week by week to pray. Only a group of women, we read, were the first attendees of the church at Philippi. There weren't any men at all. They didn't even have a building to worship in, so they worshipped in the open air, outdoors, by the river. No doubt they were perhaps despised by many in that city. They were overlooked by many as insignificant. Many were not even aware that they existed. But God didn't despise them. But God did not forget them. But God did not pass by them or neglect them in answer to their prayers. He hedged up Paul's life. Paul wanted to preach in Asia. And we read, the Holy Ghost forbade him. Very strong words. Then he wanted to go to somewhere else. And the Spirit, we are told, suffered him not. And here he is wanting to preach the word of God. But not knowing where to go. Until he has that dream. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And so they set sail and they come to Philippi, which is in Greece. And it was at Philippi that the gospel and Christ Jesus was first preached in Europe. It was at Philippi that he met Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. He was at that city of Thyatira, which interestingly is in Asia, where the Holy Ghost had forbidden him to preach. You see how God answers prayer. He did preach to an Asian, but not in Asia, in Greece. Seek that the Lord might open your heart under the preaching of the word. Solemn thing if your heart is still closed to Jesus Christ. Lydia's wasn't. It was once, but no longer. God bless the word of the Apostle Paul and through faith. Her heart opened. And light came into her soul. And she believed to everlasting life. Then we have the jailer. And that work was more sudden, wasn't it? And more dramatic, but no less real. And so the beginnings of the church at Philippi are seen. And by the time the apostle, under the inspiration of God, writes this epistle, which is believed to be around 14 years after the events and the Acts of the Apostle, the church has grown so great in numbers that we read in the opening verse of the epistle that he addresses his letter to the bishops and the deacons. And the bishops being another word for pastors or ministers. And the deacons who took a more practical role. But the fact that it's said in the plural shows it must have been perhaps a vast congregation at that time. See how God built them up from very humble and small beginnings. And he can still do that today. And it is to this church at Philippi that the apostle, under the inspiration of God, is constrained to write the words of our text, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. In the original Greek, first of all, this word know, it means to have an awareness of. It means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not talking of a casual knowledge here. He's talking of a deep knowledge and a continuing and an abiding knowledge. It also means that he may have access to him. And what a precious thing What a needful thing it is for us to have access to Jesus Christ. Because then it means you'll have access to the Father as well. There can be no access to the Father without access to Jesus Christ first. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, that I may know him. Maybe this has long been your prayer. Continue to pray. You can never outgrow this prayer. And if he answers it, what will you know? Well, first of all, you'll know Jesus Christ to be none other than Almighty God. That second person of the blessed, holy, glorious Trinity. And you'll worship him as God. You will adore him as God. You will love him as God. You will obey him as God. And it will be your privilege to worship him, to give him the honor which is his due, the glory which is his due, the reverence which is his due. And not just on the Lord's Day, but during the week. Seek, friends, to have a life of worship. A life which honours Christ, that I may know him. And he will bring you at times into those situations where only God can help. But he won't leave you there. He'll bring you out of them too. He'll bring you through them too. He'll prove himself to you as God. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. And he's still God. And he hasn't lost any of his power as God to defend and to help and to deliver, to bless, to answer prayer, to save, that I may know him and you'll know his voice. There'll be a power in that voice which is in no other voice. There'll be a beauty, an attraction in that voice that there is not found anywhere else. You will learn to trust that voice. This is a voice which speaks to you the promises of his word. The fear not. Seventy-seven times in the word of God he has said, fear not. That means there's a fear not for every trouble, trial and difficulty of your life. It means that God will help you. That God will deliver you. That God will be with you in all of them. Until you come down to die, when you won't need any more fear nots. That promise of his everlasting love toward you. And he means it. Everlasting by definition means that there is not any circumstance you can come into in life but what God's love can reach you and will reach you. It means no matter how unworthy you may be, God's affection for you, God's goodwill for you, it remains the same. But I may know him. That precious promise, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You need a refuge, a shelter, a place of safety. Christ is that refuge to his people in the time of storm. And he's the only place of safety, and you'll be taught to know this if you have our text answered for you. He is the only refuge in the storm of death. He is the only refuge that can still the storm of God's justice for you. The eternal God is thy refuge. Present tense, we're back to the is. When you need that is most, it's there. The eternal God is thy refuge. If he is an eternal God, then he must be an eternal refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Those arms to support you. Those arms to guide you, to help you, to bear you along, to hold you up, to support. And you know, friend, you can never get lower than underneath. No, it means, child of God, no matter how low you sink, the arms of God are always lower still. And none shall pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hands. Satan cannot pluck you from them. Satan cannot snatch you from them, and you can't fall out of these arms. That I may know him. That I may know him as Saviour and Redeemer. What a precious knowledge that is. Christ Jesus is the only Saviour. Christ Jesus is the perfect Saviour. Christ Jesus is a suitable Saviour. You'll come to know him. First of all, you'll come to know your need of a Saviour. That you can't save yourself, you've got to come there. That you need saving. Then you've got to come to that point that no one else can save you. But one. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. That I may know him. And you'll know what it is to plead the blood that did once for sin atone. You'll know what it is to seek after that blood, to know that it was for you. You won't be able to assume it. You won't be able to take it for granted. You'll want to know it for yourself, that I may know him. As one of our hymns say, to know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. your blessed soul this evening if you can call him my Jesus. All of the Lord's people can, you know. They have a right to. And there is a preciousness in being able to do so. My Jesus. My God. My Saviour. My Redeemer. My friend. It speaks of a union to him. It speaks of nearness. It speaks of an unbreakable bond. My Jesus, friends, seek that knowledge. Seek that assurance. You know, Paul was blessed at times with full assurance of faith. And he didn't give himself that assurance. God gave it him. Neither did he maintain it. God maintained it. That's God is still the same. He still lives. He still reigns. And he is still able to give that full assurance. Therefore, go to him and ask him to do so. And if he gives it to you, you'll know what it is to rest in him. You'll know what it is to love him more. And like the apostle, you'll say, the love of Christ constraineth us. That will be what will motivate you to a life of obedience, to a life of service, to a life of following him. Love to Jesus. Because you will know and you will appreciate and you will rest and you will not be able to forget the debt of love you owe to him. Who has done so much for you in the redemption of your soul. That I may know him. Some of you know something of the peace of that blood, do you not? You knew what it was to calm the storm of conviction of sin. You knew what it was to have grief and fear and terror replaced with an indescribable peace, which you'd never known. That peace came because your Jesus suffered for you, bled for you, died for you. That came because he had to have his peace with the Father. His Father broken for you. He had no peace upon that cross that you might know peace with God in life. And that you might know it in eternity yet to come. Never forget the cost of your peace with God. It came at a very high cost. It cost the Saviour everything. That I may know him. That I may know him as my great high priest. You know, a priest offers on behalf of the people for whom he has that office of priest, a sacrifice unto God. And he also blesses the people. That was the office of the priest in the Old Testament dispensation. Christ Jesus is a priest of his people. But the offering is himself. The offering is his precious blood. And on behalf of his people, he offers that blood to God. As their sacrifice, as their payment of the debt that they owed. Child of God, your high priest now offers his blood without spot to God in heaven as a payment of your debt. And then, because that payment is accepted, he brings a blessing right down into your soul. The blessing of sin forgiven. The blessing of nearness with God. The blessing of him speaking to you. Of you knowing something of his presence. Of you knowing something of his love for you. Because you have a high priest. That I may know him. That I may know him as man. And it is necessary that we know him not just as God, but as man. He is precious as God, but he's also precious as man. He became a real man, just like you. He was exactly the same as we are, with the exception that he did not have a sinful nature. But in every other respect, his humanity was the same. As man, he wearied. As man, he needed to sleep. As man, he needed food. As man, he sorrowed. As man, he was tempted of Satan. All of his life, every temptation that has been hurled at you was hurled at him in a far more intense way. As man, he suffered, bled, and died. As man, he was risen from the dead. And you know, friend, the same dear man in heaven now reigns that suffered for our sake. And friend, he knows what sore temptations mean. For he has felt the same. He knows what it is to be weary. He knows what it is for Satan to get at him. He knows what it is to have to endure the trials and the tribulations of life. He understands how you feel because he's been there himself. And he has a loving sympathy for you. And as God, he'll sustain you. As God, he will help you. As God, he will deliver you. As God, he will appear for you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, he says this evening. Why? Because God is on the throne. Satan's not in control of your trouble. Those who are opposing you are not in control of your trouble. God is. A God who cares. a God who loves, and a God who, when your trouble has done the work he has designed it to do, will bring you out of that trouble. We read somewhere in Scripture, one man said, "Thou hast known my soul in adversities." What does the hymn say when trouble, like a gloomy cloud, has gathered thick and thundered loud? "He near my soul has always stood, his loving kindness, oh how good." He's not a fair weather friend. You know, some people are happy to be friends with you while life's going well, but they don't want to know you when you get into trouble. The Saviour's not like that. He'll be your friend in trouble as well as in times of success. He'll be your friend when things are going wrong as well as when they're going right. And he'll support and he'll sustain you in them. It's part of what it is to have fellowship of his sufferings. It means not just to be an observer, but a partaker. And that means you too will be called to suffer for his sake. And it won't be easy. Suffering is not intended to be easy. It will be hard, it will be difficult. Your flesh would rather you didn't have it. But there will be fellowship with him in it. That is, that you will come to have a deeper knowledge of him through those sufferings. And you will come to have a deeper appreciation of what he suffered for you that you would not have had you not gone through that pathway. It's with him, not absent from him. He had to pass through his sufferings alone, but he never called you to do that. He always goes with you in it, even though there might not be anyone else. He goes through it with you. He will not desert you. He has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And never means never. That I may know him. That I may know him as Lord and Master and King. That you might be brought to own his right to rule over you. And not only to own his right to rule over you, but his right to rule over every single aspect of your life. You see, there are some who want him as Saviour, but they don't want him as Master or King or Lord. But you can't have one without the other. You'll have both. And under grace you'll be brought to want to know him as Lord and Master and King as well as Saviour, because you will come to trust him. You will come to trust his rule. You'll come to love his rule. You'll come to seek his rule rather than your own. That I may know him. That's what the hymn writer meant when he said, "Reign o'er us as King, accomplish thy will." Ask him to give you that grace, and especially those times, and they will come, when his will and your natural will disagree. Ask him to give you the grace and the love to him. Seek to do his will rather than your own. Because that honours him the most. That pleases him the most. When you are unable to crown him Lord of all instead of yourself. Whatever he asks you to do, seek grace to do it. First of all, seek that grace of obedience. Seek that grace that Philip had in the Acts of the Apostles when the Spirit said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. We read he ran. He couldn't get there quick enough. That is spiritual maturity. That's what it is to walk with God. It means to seek his will. And then, having found what his will is, to do that will as quickly as you can, without delay. Philip delighted to do his will now it had been revealed to him. Ask God to give you the same grace, even though it might take you into the desert. We read the account. Philip had to walk it out. Remember when he was told to go into that desert, God didn't tell him why. He didn't tell him that there was an Ethiopian coming towards him. He didn't show him that oasis first. He had to venture on nothing but the Lord's command. And he did venture, and he didn't ask why, and he didn't delay. Seek grace to do the same, because there will be times when you'll have to walk by faith, not by sight. And that means that he won't explain it all at the start. It'll be as you walk it out that it becomes clearer. But just because he doesn't explain it to start with doesn't mean that you should not obey. That I may know him. May we know him more in that way then. That life of obedience to his will, to his direction. That I may know him as that one who hears and answers prayer. As that one who takes our prayers and who presents them before the Father in a perfect way. I may have told you of a man in the United States who wrote a book on Christ as mediator and as advocate. And he said something like this: when your prayer ascends up to the gate of heaven, Christ takes that prayer before into the royal throne room, before his Father's face. He leaves out of that prayer all that was wrong, all that fell short, all those things that you asked for but were not for your good to have then. He adds to that prayer all those things you left out. He prays before his Father's face with reverence. And the Father smiles upon his Son and always gives an answer in the affirmative. And then the answer is sent down to you. He said, if you could hear your prayer as it is prayed in heaven, you'd hardly recognize it. If you can say, he's prayed for me, friend, you'll get to heaven at last. Because he himself said, I pray not for the world, I pray for them. Who are them? My disciples, not just the 11. All his disciples. And that includes us, if we're in our text. I have prayed for thee. And he's still praying for you this evening. And he will not cease to pray for you until you are aware you no longer need prayer, and that will be when you're in glory. He watches over you day and night with unceasing prayer for you, child of God, that I may know him. That I may know him as my shepherd. How precious is that office of shepherd. That one who provides for the sheep. That one who watches over the sheep. That one who guides the sheep. Not really a job, it's a way of life, isn't it? And shepherds, naturally speaking, are shepherds because they love their sheep, they love their flock. And it is their business, and they make it their business, to know everything about their flock so that they can attend to their needs as they arise. Christ is a good shepherd of the sheep. He knows all about them, every one of his flock, as individuals, their individual natures, their individual characters, their individual needs, the individual circumstances they're going through at that time. He knows just what they need at any particular time. He never makes a mistake. He leads them in green pastures and beside those still waters for food and drink. Have there not been times when you've fed on the Word of God? When you've been watered by the Word of God? When you've been fed and watered under the ministry of the Word? It's because Christ was your shepherd. That's why he led you to that place. And you knew what the hymn says, he leads his sheep with love untold to feed in pastures fair. The feeblest lamb within the fold receives the shepherd's care. And it goes on, here's a prayer for you, dear shepherd. May I know thy voice and learn to follow thee. Oh, may thy ways be all my choice to prove thy choice of me. Seek that God may give you that heart to be a contented sheep. That his choice may be your choice. Seek that he may give you that grace to delight to walk in the footsteps of the flock. It's in those footsteps that you'll find the shepherd near. That's what the Song of Solomon tells us. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flocks to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside from the flocks of thy companions. What is the answer given? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. That's what you've got to do. Go forth by the footsteps of the flock. Walk in them. Follow Christ and Christ's example. And the example of others of the sheep as far as they follow Christ. And then you'll know what it is to feed. Then you'll know what it is to know, to experience those living waters. And you know, friends, the footsteps of the flock, they end in heaven. In the presence of the Saviour. That I may know him. And then in heaven, our text will be fulfilled in every way it can be fulfilled. You see, we can only know him here, but distantly, but darkly. But then we'll know him face to face. Here we know him by faith. Then we'll know him by sight. And child of God, if he has been attractive and lovely and beautiful to you by the eye of faith, think, what will it be to behold him face to face? He will be 10,000 times more precious to you there in the glory of Emmanuel's land than he ever was here. If here below you have drank of those streams of love and you've known your soul to be filled to capacity, that's just a fraction of what can be known. That is just a very small beginning. It's a drop compared to the ocean that you will experience in heaven above. There to an ocean's fullness, his glory doth expand. His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. There you'll commune with him face to face. He will speak to you, and you will speak to him. And how much more precious will it be to hear his literal voice with your literal ears as he tells you of his love for you. As he explains to you the pathway of life and why you had to walk the way you did. And then you'll know what Rutherford said, "Ah, bless the hand that guided. Ah, bless that heart that planned. When throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." You know, for the believer, the prospect after death is a bright one. The best is yet to come. And when it comes, believer, it will never pass away. It will never end. It will never diminish. It will endure forever. In the words of a hymn I came across recently, if I can remember it. It says, speaking of being in heaven, that the longing will be over. there with my precious Jesus. You know, friends, there will be no more prayers in heaven because there's no more need to pray. All your desires will be immediately and eternally answered in heaven. There you will know indescribable communion and nearness to him. There you'll know what it is to worship face to face with him. There you'll know what it is to love and to adore him with an unsinning heart. We can't know that here, because we cannot stop sinning. Even, you know, in the house of God, we still sin, even though we might not necessarily be aware of it. We can't serve him as he truly deserves here below. But in heaven you will, child of God. You'll serve him as he ought to be served. You'll love him as he deserves to be loved with all your heart. And you'll no longer know what it is to have your love to him ebb and flow. You know, no longer will you know what it is to be warm one minute and cold the next. You'll love him with an intensity that you cannot know here. And it will endure forever. You'll know what Murray McShane wrote. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And when you know how much you do owe him, you will spend an eternity praising him, thanking him, adoring him, loving him, worshipping him. And it will be your delight so to do. No more sin, no more Satan, no more darkness, no more tears, no more trouble. There in heaven, face to face with your Saviour, you'll be near unto him, you'll be like him. That is, that you will have a holy nature. And it will be one of your joys that you will never sin again. The moment the believer goes home to heaven, never again will they have a wrong thought, a wrong desire. Never again will they say a wrong word or do a wrong thing. It'll be holiness, eternal, for eternity. And the believers in heaven rejoice that they are at last set free from this body of sin and death. That I may know him. And there in heaven they adore that Lamb once slain. Never will they forget. And child of God, never will you forget the cost of your salvation, the wounds of Jesus. And lost in wonder amazement. Amazement that God should so love you, and should so save you from your lost, ruined condition, and to raise you to heaven where you do not deserve to be. Filled with that amazing wonder, you'll never lose it. And you'll be filled with love and with praise to your Saviour, to whom you owe so much. What must it be to be there? To be home with Jesus? For some of you, it's not far off. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. It may be far off now. It won't always be so. One day, child of God, you'll come where the hymn wrote, in your experience too. Why should I shrink at pain or woe, or fear at death's dismay? I've Canaan's goodly land in view and realms of endless day. A day where there'll never be a night. That day of glory. That day of rest. That day of peace. Called home to be with your Saviour, who loved you so much that rather than lose you, would shed his heart's blood. May God bring us there, because, friends, if it is true for the believer that the best is yet to come, for the unbeliever the worst is yet to come, and that too will be forever. You'll leave home forever if you are without Christ, and if you don't know him. And then you'll know nothing but shame and misery and darkness. You'll be in that place where there is no day, where the night never ends. You'll be in that place of eternal misery, of eternal pain, eternal torment. And it will never end. May God grant that we may know him and not be left to be among those who he says at last, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." This, friends, is a vital prayer. If you've never prayed it before, begin today with this prayer. And if you have prayed before, continue praying this prayer, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pocock expects you to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 720, 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Hymn 720.
Thank you.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day. Grant that we each, by thy Holy Spirit's teaching, may know thee, whom to know is life eternal. And once knowing thee, grant that we may know thee more, that we may love thee more, that we may be drawn nearer to the Lord more. We ask now that thou wouldst take us each under thy safe care and keeping. Bless those who now depart and be with them. Watch over them. Supply all their needs. May the day come, Lord, when they do not depart, but they remain to partake of thy table. Be, Lord, with those of us who now at thy gracious invitation and divine command venture near to remember thy dying love. Lord, consider us and help us to consider thee. Remember us as we remember thee. And also, Lord, be with those who watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and remain with us forevermore. Amen.